Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Reason they don't seem to be able to get back on.
Right.
I see.
Right. We were just introducing ourselves, Reverend Lindsay and myself. I told her who I was from New Birth, and we were just talking. I told her I was going to stay on the line till 9. That's all, you know, let somebody come and say, get off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
I had 3 attempts.
Yeah, we had.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, we hear you on Vi.
Yeah, we hear you, but they're not getting through.
They're not on for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm. All right, we can call it a quit, I guess, until next Thursday.
Everybody just hold tight for a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on.
Gregory.
Well, Pastor Kason sent us a message. He wanted us to go ahead and get started. So I'm not sure if they hear us, but nevertheless, we're going to go ahead. They are having some kind of difficulties at the studio. They're at the church. So
okay.
We're going to go ahead and open up for prayer. If you, everyone would bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you, Lord, we be right now. Just another evening, we pray, Lord, now that you would touch and deliver, Lord. We realize that the enemy is trying to keep us from going forward and having Bible study. But, oh, God, we rebuke him right now in the name of
Jesus.
Father, we ask now that you would enlighten us and open our hearts and our minds that we might be blessed by the word. Lord, we pray now that you would continue to let that word be a guide to us as we continue to go forward. Lord, we thank you and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we pray. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to ask everyone if turn to the gospel according to Matthew, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses of that chapter tonight. And if you followed Matthew, you know that this was the beginning of Jesus getting ready to enter into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate before Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to go ahead. Sheila Gregory, Sheila G, is here with us.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening, First Lady.
So we're going to ask the First Lady to read.
What
chapter is it, 20?
The 21st chapter of Mark.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them.
So as we begin to look at this, now you all have to pray with us because we weren't prepared to jump in and start taking notes.
Yeah, right. And just right. Get it together.
Because we yeah. All get a little piece
That's
of
right.
It.
That's right.
And it says, and when they drew nigh to Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. And with Christ always had a plan to what he was doing. He was prepared to do what had to be done. And even with this, all of this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And again, we see that Jesus had a mission. His mission was to come down and to save souls on this sinful world. And so as he begins to fulfill and continue on with his mission, and he says to the two disciples, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And one thing that is always, to me, is always kind of not really blown my mind, but the fact that Jesus knew ahead of time, and he knows all things. And he sends his disciples out to get this colt. He tells them where to go, exactly what to look for, and what to do with the colt when they get him. And, you know, even in our day and time, if more people and good part about it is that they did do what the Lord tells them to do. But, you know, we've been talking about calling and how the Lord calls us to do different jobs. This is a carry-on or continues on with the fact that he was continuing on his mission. During the Sunday school the last few weeks, we've studied about how the prophets were called by God for their mission. And tried to reinforce to the church is that each of us, in our own way, we have a mission, we have a calling. And it doesn't really matter whether we've been called to preach, the pastor, deacon, or whatever. Each of us have a calling on our life. Now, Amen. The thing, are we going to be obedient just as these disciples were and follow the Lord's instructions to the T? For some reason, that's hard for us as a people. You know, we will take bits and pieces of what God says and we will apply it to our lives, not realizing that if we take everything that the Lord directs us to do, and part of that, yes, is, you know, it's a part of growing in the body of the Lord. I mean, God has to get our attention and to get us to the point where we understand that, you know, his job and his mission is for real. And he calls us to do something. We've got to be just like Isaiah was when he said, here am I, Lord, send me. God is not going to call us or prepare us to do something if we're not fit for the job. And so it was at that point to take the instructions and follow them to the letter. Sheila, what are your thoughts on that?
The one thing that I find is very interesting about the scripture is that not only does he tell them where to go and what to do, but he lets them know that there is going to be an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
And know that there's going to be an obstacle, he provides them a way to go beyond that obstacle. And I think that's the problem that we have in our lives today, is that the Lord will tell us, and we know that the Lord is tugging at our heart and telling us to go a certain direction, but we're not preparing ourselves for the obstacle. So when he calls us, not only do we need to recognize that God is guiding us, we also need to call on him to give us the awareness to see not only when the enemy is trying to distract us, because he hides behind a curtain. He doesn't come at us directly. He'll come at us through circumstances, situations, or people. But if we seek the Lord to say, okay, we recognize that this is the direction you want me to go, there are going to be stumbling blocks. Lord, let me know in advance how it is to prepare myself for when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I can respond and still do your mission. And that's pretty much what he's doing here with the disciples. He's like, I want you to go. He is Jesus. They know who he is. I want you to get the donkey. I want you to lose it. But there's going to be some problems. There's going to be a block. It's not going to be easy, but I'm providing a way out.
And I close in line verse 3, because it says, now, if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now, how often can we do that? Or are we willing to be bold enough to say, well, the Lord has sent me to do X, Y, and Z? You know, we talk about being disciples. We talk about being children of the Lord. But when it comes down to really being obedient to what God has in store, and this is why for many of us our blessings are cut short. It takes some folk, as we said, you know, our calling to be about what the Lord wants. For some of us, it takes a longer time to get our attentions. Now, we got to remember, too, that the disciples, although they had been with Jesus all this time, and for him to direct them and tell them to go into this certain village and you'll find a colt and loose them and bring them unto me. Now, the instructions sounds kind of strange. And to be honest with you, everything that the Lord tells us to do, I mean, we've got to be honest with ourselves. There are times that we question because we're just not sure that this is from the Lord. You know, we wonder, Lord, are you sure about this thing? And now, one thing we're going to do a little bit differently tonight. We want all of you to, if you've got comments, you know, jump in. We'll give you an opportunity. But when looking at these verses, you know, we as humans, because we are still growing, because we are still developing, we would have to be honest and say that, you know, we all question the instructions sometimes that God, you know, God's instructions, to be honest, just does not make sense to the logical mind. And we can follow what he tells us to do, then at the end of it, then we'll see that the Lord will always make sense at the end. But getting us to follow instructions is one of the hardest things that God has to deal with. Anybody want to jump in and say something on this?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Lindsay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yes, it is, Pastor Gregory. It is very hard, because a lot of time we have doubt, and the enemy knows that we have doubt. And then he doesn't do anything because we have that doubt there. We open up the door for him to continue to plant that seed of disbelief and doubt. I was thinking about here when I saw it is, that's why we pray and we ask God before we do anything, you know, to direct our footsteps. And the people that we have to work with or be involved with move on the altar of their heart and direct their footsteps, prepare the way, so that when we get there, it will, you know, their heart will be in that state that, you know, the Lord has worked on them. But it comes from, you know, just building relationship with God, the more we pray and study His Word, the more we trust His Word and believe what He is saying.
Amen.
But
yes,
it's,
amen.
It's a gradual growth process.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I'm sorry, were you finished?
I'm finished. Thank you.
Yes. And that's what I wanted to say, too. The closer you get to God, the closer you get into Him, the more you believe in Him and trust in Him, it's easy for you to just at a drop of a hat do things and not even question and not even wonder, you know. But we do all, I myself included, I'm going to plead guilty. But it's not because I don't trust Him or I don't want to do what He said. It's just that doubt, like Reverend Lindsay said, it's that enemy, he gets in you and you just go haywire. But God got a plan for that too. Like she said, that prayer and just constantly talking to Him, going in there, doing your thing with Him, it'll help you to get better as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
No, Lord. Yes, it is. It's always hard. Our human nature just would not let us do it. We always be rejecting to something that somebody would be afraid of. You not think this is truth, and you're so scared that you're going to make the wrong mistake.
Amen.
It's kind of hard. And you know, when everybody disliking Jesus and they trying to kill Him and everything, everybody's scared. They don't know where to do and where to believe and where not to believe. But you have to have the trust and the faith that God gave you to listen. And you take His word for it. You go and do what He said to do.
Amen.
And you try to do your best, to do the best you can. That's all
best
you can do.
Amen.
That's all you can do.
Amen. Anyone else?
Sometimes you have to examine the situation and ask yourself, you might have a little doubt, and if it's something pertaining to what man has said or done, or something you, when you're dealing with other people, you will have a little doubt there, and then you'll have to go and pray to God to get a better understanding of what the situation is, to give you the strength to deal with the situation. It comes in all kinds of forms, but you have to hang on to God's word, because that's our tool that we use to keep us believing and trusting in Him, to know that His word is true, and He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. So you really have to depend on God to follow His word and give you the strength to believe and know that He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction.
Amen.
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 And I think, too, you know, we have to get to a point, and that's why it's important that, you know, and we stress it all the time, you know, we've got to have a personal relationship with the Lord. We ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
On anyone else to get to know the Lord. I mean, we preach all the time, and I tell folks that, you know, we can't get to heaven off of what our parents did or what anybody
else.
The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And until you really have that personal walk with the Lord, and as you grow, as you develop, and yes, your enemy is going to do what he does best, which is plant that seed of doubt. But as you grow and as you go through your moments of testing, you learn through keeping your faith that God knows what He's doing. And it's the same, because when you look at the church, especially with the church, you know, we ought to be doing more than what we ought to be doing. I mean, we ought to be doing what we're doing. We ought to be on fire, Lord, but you know, we have so few people that are serious about the walk with God. And it's always faithful few who are going to, you know, be about a good work for the Lord. And this is why it's important that we get into the Word, that we study. The Bible says study to show ourselves approved unto God.
Yes.
You know, we're so busy, you know, put everything and everybody before Him. And then something tragic comes, or sickness or death, then we want to reach out to Him. But during days when everything is going fine, I mean, you know, I check that Facebook crap just to see what people put on, and it's amazing how you've got church folk. You got spiritual minded, supposed to be, people who go on Facebook and put all their business on Facebook, but
Amen.
Yet won't have time to get on bended knee and have a little talk with the Lord. And
yes.
and when you get into the Word, when you spend time with God, this is how you grow. This
mm-hmm.
is how you know who the Lord is. God already knows who he is. And he wants us to understand that we've got to learn not to lean to our own understanding, but we've got to lean on him. And when we get to a point where we know without a shadow of a doubt that God doesn't
Man.
Make mistakes, if he created the world and everything that's in it, you know, from the beginning to the end, and mankind will throw his little two cents in about how the world came into be through the scientific, this, that, and the other. But, see, I beg to differ with them because only a God who had a blueprint and knew what he wanted could create a world in such a way and then went beyond that, blew the breath of life into man's nostrils and gave man the ability to think and to make decisions. But until we as the people of God come to grips with this thing and understand that God is not playing, God is for real. And we've got to show that we are for real. You know, I'm at the point now in my life where I don't let anything bother me. I don't care what goes on in the church. If it don't happen, don't happen. Those that are going to come and serve the Lord are going to come. Those that are going to stay home, going to stay home. Those that are not going to call in on Wednesday or Thursday are just not going to do it. But you
Amen.
Have to continue to stay prayed up and continue your walk with Christ and
yes.
follow his instructions
Amen.
To the letter
Amen.
Because that's where we make our mistakes. We
Amen.
Want to deviate from what the Lord tells. And the Word tells us how to go about living our lives. But
yes,
we just
Lord.
Won't take time to be obedient to what he tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila G.
And, I mean, it just goes back to what we were talking about last week. At the end of the day, it's faith in God. And we have the faith to have the faith to believe in the relationship with him.
Right.
Whatever direction he sends us, that we need to listen more to him than to man. Too often, we want to be people pleasers. Too often, we'll let somebody get in our ear, tell us this. When we know in our heart, God doesn't want us to do that. I mean, you expect that as babes, as teenagers, as kids, while we're still learning. Some of us are like that in our life with Christ, in that we allow outside distractions to pull us from the direction in which we know God is sending us. But it comes down to the faith, and you can't have that faith until you have that relationship to be prepared for when, because the enemy doesn't want you to go to that destination.
Mm-mm.
Just like in this scripture, Jesus knew that the enemy was going to try to stop them from doing this, but it had to be done in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, which is what they're talking about in the next scriptures. But so that's why Jesus knew, let me tell them this, because if they get scared, if they lean on their flesh, if they lean on their humanness, they won't do as I've told, and the prophecy will not be fulfilled. So it's the same thing with us, is in order for the destiny to be fulfilled within our lives, we have to have the relationship with God to be prepared for when the enemy comes at us, so that we'll have the faith to believe that regardless of what man is saying, regardless of what man is doing, this is the direction that God wants me to do. And it may be uncomfortable right now, it may not look right now, I may not understand it right now, but that's why he says, lean not to your understanding. That's why he says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, because preparing us. But if you don't know his word and you don't have a prayer, then you won't have the faith to do it God's way, and that's when we tend to do it man's way, which is why this world is in a mess it is now.
Amen.
But then God's prophecy for our lives and for everything cannot be fulfilled.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And to
Amen.
Jump in on what Sheila G
yes.
was saying, we have to understand that God has a plan for each of our lives. Now, we may not fully know what it is. We may not fully understand what it is, but he has a plan. And
yes, Lord.
If we would take time to get in touch with the Lord through the Word, through our prayer life, and spend some real quality time with him, you know, more so than just that hit and miss stuff that we give him when we, you know, we say our little grace or, you know, we're running somewhere. I mean, really get time and really talk with him and spend some real time. And the Lord will reveal to us, partially maybe, but he's not going to tell us everything, but what his plan is for our lives. And, you know, we forget that ultimately the Lord wants us to be disciples, to draw other people to Christ. All this other stuff is good, but he wants us to spread the good news about him, share about what he has done in our lives. And until we get back to doing, putting our trust in him, and that goes for our nation too. You know, all this political mess and the way that our country is going right now. Until we get back to what's on the currency, in God we trust. I mean, you know, we think about in the past all the wars and things that the U.S. has won. In God we trust. And we are so far out to the left or to the right, God has no place in our lives right now. And he has that plan, and he has a plan for the U.S. I mean, the U.S. has built its name throughout the centuries, but with one stroke of the pen and what this fool is doing in the White House now, it's just destroying everything that the integrity of the U.S. And, you know, we as people have got to understand that God has a plan for our lives, but really spend time with him to get to understand what his plan really is. Anybody want to jump on that a little bit?
That's so true, Pastor Gregory. And I was thinking that, you know, sometimes God has to allow ungodly people and wicked people because he uses everything for his glory. Uh-huh. And sometimes he allows people to come in our lives and let us have a little bit of discomfort.
Amen.
So that we can get back to him and depend on him like we should depend on him. And but we know it's only temporary because we see it in the Word and we see it from studying our Sunday school lesson that disobedience and sin brings about a lot of time. You know, the enemy, God will allow the enemy to hold us in captivity or to make our life very comfortable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us, but a lot of times we want what other countries want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not contented with God and what he has done for us because we see a lot of things that other people do and the flesh think that these things are right and we want to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go against the word of God, a sin has, you're going to pay the price for sin, you know.
Yes, Lord.
When sin is committed, you know, you're going to pay that price one way or another. And so this is what has happened to not only to America, but to the people in general, even to the Christians. We have allowed so much to go on because we wanted to compromise. And therefore, everybody's paying that price.
Yeah.
But God is going to step in, you know. He is going to bring justice. He's going to step in. But sometimes he allowed these things to happen that we might get closer to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Amen. A lot of times in our Christian walk, we have a tendency to get complacent and take him for granted. Then when we get big-headed and forget who's in control, he has his own way of putting us back on track.
Amen.
Sometimes we can deal with it, sometimes we can't. But if you're a true Christian, you know when you've stepped out of line, and you know the things that he expects out of you. But we allow the flesh to kick in sometimes, and it doesn't work like that with God. You know,
that's right.
Maybe in your mind you think so, but it doesn't work like that. And you are tested every day in your Christian walk, and those are the things that he wants us to be aware of.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else want to have a word?
Yes, Lord, Lord, mercy. Just looking at the way the devil is working today, tonight. He's working, trying to keep us separated from each other.
Amen.
He just in his heart, he always put his hand in there to trying to destroy whatever God puts in your heart and your faith. And it's kind of hard for you to try to stay in the right way where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And he's going to keep on fighting you because you always, because I was just challenged two weeks ago just to see how much the devil is going to try me and how much faith that I had to go with. I had to stay on my knees and pray to the Lord to hold me back from making a mistake and that I did not do. And the devil just kept on trying it. I know I can make him do it, but oh, Lord knows. No, he could not do it. I stayed there and kept praying all the 2 weeks I was gone. I prayed and prayed to make sure that I get back there and tell him that know that my heart was right there and my faith was right with him all the way. And he tried to destroy tonight. Last week, he destroyed me, tried me to keep him getting there to tell. But tonight, he tried to do the same thing, but the Lord's still getting through there anyway. We're still talking.
Amen. And I just want to say that's why they say study, because the more you know, the more you grow. And more you stay on this phone on Thursday, the more you get on there on Wednesday, the more you study your Bible, you're going to study. And all that's going to be inside of you, and you're going to be able to withstand anything. You might not be able to speak sometime or say this or that, but you got God's word in you. When Satan come around you, you're going to know who it is, because he's going to let you recognize.
Yes, you will.
And
yes,
you're
going to
stand. You're just going to stand. You know, you're not going to do nothing ungodly or none of that, you know, because the more you get to him, the more the love, the more you have him in you, the more faith that you have, you're going to always be stronger.
That's right.
Amen. I think you all are correct. You know, the Lord has to sometimes allow things to come into our life in order for his purposes to be done. And when you look at verse 4 of this 21st chapter, it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And that's just like with our lives. You know, with this, the prophecy had to be fulfilled. And Jesus had come down to do his mission. And see, the prophets of old foretold what was going to take place in the future. Now, people, just like the day, didn't want to believe it, but If you go back and you study this New Testament, there are quite a few times when the Lord says this, that, or the other had to be done in order that the prophecy could be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. And see, prophets they got it from God, and they gave the people. And when you study Israel, of course, Israel didn't get it because each generation was worse than the one before. And a lot of the folk who you know, we talk about the Israelites and how they were God's chosen people, but they were some hard-headed folk. When you fast forward to where we are today, there's nothing really that has changed.
No.
We're called by Christians, but each generation has gotten worse. And so God has to do things. He has to continue to do things in our life. Yes, we do get complacent. We become so self-satisfied, and we think that we have arrived, but we forget that the Lord said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But see, the life that we want does not coincide with what God wants us to give. He wants us to have a life that we're going to continue to preach Christ, talk about Christ, live Christ, and help draw people to the Lord. But we're so busy, we're in our own little cocoons, our little shells. You know, we might go to church if we feel like it, depends on what's going on. And now the football season is getting ready to come up again. You know that, you know, those Sunday Christians are just not going to be there because they're going to be in somebody's football game. And, you know, we've got to keep this thing real.
Yes, Lord.
plan is going to be done,
right,
with or without folk who are not serious.
Right.
And when you look at verse 6, it says that, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And that verse right there is a key verse. How much better our lives would be if we would just do as the Lord commands us to do. Sheila G.
Interesting. Two points. One, and when you were talking about the Israelites and each generation changing, I think about us today, because when I was a kid, you know, it wasn't a choice as to whether or not you went to church. Everybody knew Sunday, even when we became a teenager, and when I would come home from college, if I was home from college, I had to get up and go to church. You know, but nowadays it's like, if the kids want to come, fine. If they don't, that's fine. And that has happened with each generation, and they're getting further. The whole standard of life, that standard of Christ being first, has just with each generation has gone further and further away from the Lord, because it's not being passed down the way it was passed down from generations before, so it's getting lost. So I wanted to refer to that, but then also that's why when you're looking at verse 6, when he said the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, that's why we don't see that today.
Amen.
Because they did it because by generation, as a generation passed on, they could refer back to, when Jesus referred back to what the prophecy that needed to be fulfilled, they knew what he was talking about, because that prophecy from generations on back had been passed down. We're not passing that down to our people, to our generations and the next generation. When they are faced with the decision to follow Christ, they don't know, okay, this is what God says, therefore I need to follow him, and I need to behave this way and the other. They're pretty much doing their own thing because the generations before them are doing it, and we're drawing further, further away from Christ.
Amen. We'll open it up and let you all take a turn and touch base on that. What about this thing of the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them? Why can't we do as the Lord commands us?
Because we give our generation is this way. We did. We do not treat our children like our generation came before us. Our mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers and came on, they scuffled and tried to put a plate on the table that you had meat and you had food and vegetables and came on, but you had a yard out there, you could garden everything. We worked for that, and we worked for all that food and that stuff to put on your plate. Today we feed our children just about whatever they want to be, do what they want to do and say what they want to say and go where they want to go. They got everything to do. When you didn't have a car to go to and a pair of shoes to put on, another pair of shoes and a pair of pants to put on, you had a hole torn in your knees and whatnot, no matter your place and clean, your wash and everything. There was no washing machine and dry. You scrubbed it on a rug board and you washed them clothes like crazy. These kids have just throw everything in it. The man made it so easy that they just so lazy to do anything for you. But you wasn't that way when your generation was coming up. And these children just got everything so easy and so bad. So the next generation, when they have children, it's going to be worse than that, because each generation gets worse and worse every time you get alone.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'd like to make a comment. Can everybody hear me? This is Brandon.
Sure,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I know this question, this answer very well, at least from my heart. The reason that we don't do what God commands us is I think it's two things. I think the first thing is fear, because a lot of what God commands us to do is foreign to us, is unknown, because God's only going to command vessels that he knows he can utilize to do it. And as we all know, we were born in sin. We didn't come out, you know, deciding that we wanted to be Christians and take this Christian journey. So I think part of it is fear, because you don't know. It's not all mapped out for you. God's just saying, hey, look, I have this task for you, and you have to trust and have faith in God that, you know, this task is going to also make you a better Christian, but also there's something waiting for you at the end of it. The second thing I think is because these tasks aren't short, quick tasks. They're sometimes difficult. They sometimes require a lot of commitment. And as Christians, I know Pastor Gregory and Sister Gregory have said that we want microwave. We want everything to be quick. We want it to be fast. We don't want to make any long, drawn-out commitments, because then all of a sudden the road gets a little narrow. Sometimes we get worried. Sometimes we get off the road. So I think The other part of it is, too, is that, you know, it's not going to be easy. You know, if God gives us a task, it may sound like, oh, I could do it, but if you really get on it and then you really take it seriously and understand it, say, hey, look, this is going to be a commitment. And I think human nature is that we're scared. We'd rather just kind of sit, be comfortable. And then the other part is that our commitment is not as strong as we think it is. And then when that task is put in front of you, you kind of see what's ahead of you and how much you're going to have to do. Ultimately, that's a deterrent. And that's the cheap excuse that we use to God to say, oh, you know, it's too long, I don't want to deal with it, oh, I'm scared, I've never done this before. And unfortunately, that's the only way that you're going to grow, is to continue to push yourself and to see how far you can actually go. But Christians, we always fall short of that aspect because, as we stated, the task God gave us would be easy, this whole world would be filled with Christians. But guess what? It's not. You know, it's only God doesn't want any weak Christians. And I know for a fact I don't want any weak Christians around me, especially when time gets tough, because that's when you truly see people's characters. And I truly think that that's, you know, what it is. And ultimately, what people have to understand is that, yes, God gives you a task, but also remember, within that task, you're growing, and it's for the betterment of yourself as a Christian or whatever aspect of your life you want to kind of apply it to. That ultimately makes us better people. So then guess what? When we accomplish that task, God's like, okay, they're ready. So then in a little while after, then he'll give you another task and another task. The next thing you know, you're going to be growing, and you're not even going to be realizing it, but you have to be committed. You have to understand that God gives us commandments. We have things to do. Being a Christian is more than just saying I'm walking around, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church every Sunday. It's bigger than just showing up every church, you know, I mean, every Sunday, putting your little dollar, $2 in the offering plate, get a couple of scriptures, hear the word, and go home. It's much bigger than that, and the more that I've been involved in church over my life, I've actually seen that. And I also realized, too, that guess what? If I want to be the best version of Brandon in the Christian form, guess what? I'm going to have to do some things that I've never done before, because obviously in order to create change, you have to change your mindset. You have to change what you do and how you go about things, because guess what? If I continue to do what Brandon does, Brandon's never going to grow. I'm going to stay exactly where I'm at, how I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But in order for Brandon to grow and for all of us to grow in this Christian walk, guess what? You're going to have to change it up. You're going to have to do some things differently. You're going to have to swallow some tough pills. You're going to have to turn another cheek and another cheek. You're going to have to, you know, do things that you normally wouldn't be used to doing and kind of getting in that mindset of doing it. So in my opinion, those are the reasons why I think we as Christians, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm not perfect at all, because God has thrown some things my way, and I've hesitated on most. I'm not going to lie. And some of it I've gotten accurate.
Amen.
Guess what? I can admit that. I'm a man, and I can admit, yes, I'm a work in progress. But that's why I call in on Bible study. That's why I call in on the prayer service line. That's why I go to church, because the more I do it, the more understanding I realize, that, you know what? It's okay to be fearful, but guess what? You still have to do what thus says the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I would just like to say, in my opinion, it's hard for us as Christians to do what God asks, because we just got to have that. We got to have that die hard. We got to have that faith. We got to have that faith. We got to trust Him. We got to believe Him. We got to know. And we do question, but when we have that kind of faith and be strong in Him, then it's going to be always hard, probably, but we can do it, you know. And that's it. We got to have the right faith and the right mindset. We got to know what we want, and we got to know that's what we want, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to live for it. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to add, a lot of times we don't respect authority.
No.
Right.
And it said here that God commanded. First of all, you have to surrender and submit to authority, that Jesus is in control of your life, that the Holy Spirit is telling you what to do. And once we completely surrender to the word and to authority, then we can be obedient to the word. But we can't be obedient and do what God tells us to do until we truly love what He tells us. And there's a lot of things that we're going to have to make sacrifices with, or either change our lifestyle, be a little bit uncomfortable, and sometimes we just don't want to do it. It means losing power. It means losing friends. Sometimes it even means losing ourselves being on the throne.
Amen.
So we have to submit and surrender unto God and to authority, what the word tells us to do. We have to reverence it.
mind.
Amen. Is there another? Why can't we do as God commands?
I always, even when you're raised up from a child in the admonition of God, and sometimes you find yourself in the world, and you have to be obedient, as Reverend Lindsay just said. We have to respect him as who he is. We have to respect the fact that our lives are no longer ours. We have to totally be committed, connected to God, and the only way you're going to do that is that you study his word, believe in his word, trust his word, live it each and every day of your life.
Right.
Because he's not going to accept you no other way.
That's right.
And it's hard to get that mindset. And when you do get that mindset, you separate yourself away from that world. And when I say away from that world, those people out there doing... Someone asked me to go to the movie just this week. And I said, I'm not going to that movie because I heard that it has a lot of cursing in it. And she said, well, it's funny. I said, but that's not me. I could have easily submitted myself to go to see some stupid movie that was not, God would have, wouldn't approve of it in any kind of way. But because the devil has set it out there to draw us to it, not only just to go there and fill your spirit with ungodliness, but to take your money. You'll pay that much money to go see some filth as opposed to tithing, receiving the blessings and the promises from God. This is what God means when he says thinking godly.
Amen.
Thinking godly, not earthly. Because when you think like God, you're not going to let anybody. You have to be grounded in his word.
Amen.
People call you a fanatic. Oh, I don't want to be around her. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You. You Amen. Have to let your light shine to let people know who you are and whose you are, and never, never let anyone draw you away from the love of God and
Thank
what
you,
he, you know that you are supposed to be all the time.
Amen.
All the
Amen.
Time. Because some people will get a complex and say, I'm going to go on and do it. No, I'm
Amen.
Not. No, I'm not. You find somebody else. You really shouldn't be going. And that's how I do. I even with my nieces, my nephews, my daughter, I don't care who it is.
Amen.
You stand your ground. You be
Amen.
Obedient to God. And I guarantee you, if you live it and practice it every day, it becomes a part of you because you say to yourself,
Amen.
My life belongs to God.
Amen.
And I want to be accepted, and I want to be in that number.
Amen.
My mom used to say all the time, I'm working on a building, a sure right. foundation. I want to see my Heavenly Father one day.
Amen.
Amen.
That you have to be obedient. You have to be committed to God. I don't care what nobody says. And it's not going to be a bed of roses. And you're going to be tempted. Things are going to come your way. But it's just as easy to say no as to commit yourself to something that you know is not pleasing in the sight of God.
Amen.
Then you get a complex.
Don't
feel guilty because you
That's
know
right.
you did wrong.
All right.
You did wrong. So I just say follow your God's gift to God, not man. Glorify
Amen.
Him, and he will definitely glorify you.
Amen.
Amen.
And now everybody should be on the line right now that goes to church, that goes to each one of the churches. Everybody
Amen.
Should be on the line right now to get in there. If mama and grandmama said, Hey, you going to church Sunday morning? You didn't dance around and dance all night long, and Sunday morning you're going to be in church. Now tonight, everybody should be on the line because there's no hesitating anybody to not be on in church.
Amen.
Your Bible study is at night, and you ain't hear but one or four or five people that come to church. Mm-hmm. I ain't heard of one or two or three voices that don't belong to church.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, not everybody should be on the line. Not right tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You're crazy about God and you're crazy about Jesus. This is the night to be in. Show yourself that you're supposed to be there.
Amen.
Not just on Sundays, just today. Today will be a show to what time of day you have the love of being with Jesus in Christ. Ain't no way possible. You're supposed to be there. We got the free light. Line. I can't even get it straight now, but it should be heard about jumping on this line right now.
Sir, but those are people that got one foot in the church and one foot outside of the church. And they
outside the church.
They're straddling the fence.
Amen.
And they straddling the fence and they think it's acceptable in the sight of God.
Oh, my
God.
If he came in one time and wants you ready to go to heaven, everybody be trying to jump over the line trying to get to heaven.
Amen.
Because you don't want to die, you don't want to go nowhere, but you want to go to heaven. But you can't. But you can't get there and speak about the Jesus not one time.
Yes,
but you
Lord.
Love him, though. You love
Amen.
Him. You tell him so much you love him, but you don't love him. You love that you long you breathe is fine. But get there online right now, which everybody should be right now.
Amen.
How much love you love?
Praise him. Well, we for tonight and. Even though the enemy tried to stop it from going forth, and what we were, as far as God's plan is going to go forth, and we do thank all of you for your comments. That's some good preaching material that all of you have given. And I think the bottom line is, you know, we as a people, and I do thank God, you know, we've got to become bold in our walk with Christ.
Yes, we do.
We are supposed to be soldiers, but we're some cowardly soldiers when it comes to serving him.
Mm-hmm.
And all are right. You know, we've got to be committed.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Committed to everything but the Lord. And when God tells us to do something, it shouldn't be, okay, if I feel like it, well, depending on what else I got going on.
Yeah, it's all that old foolishness.
That's so with that, Pastor C, were you able to get on? He must not. Well, we're going to ask Sheila G to give her final remarks and then to close us out in prayer.
Amen. I just have one thing that I say every day before I go into my job, and actually comes from the prayer of Jabez, and it's lead, guide, direct my path, enlarge my territory, and keep me from evil. And that is what we should have in our heart in order for us to truly follow the commandments of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have Bible study and just listen and learn from each other and continue to grow in your faith, Lord. Help us continue to follow the direction that you want us to go, knowing that as the enemy comes up against us, you provide a way out for us, Lord. Well, we thank you for the victory on tonight, because truly Satan did not want this to go forward, but it went forward the way that you wanted it to go forward, Lord. Some yoke and broken, Lord. Some growth. Some of us have grown more today than we have in each day prior to that, Lord. We just want to draw closer and closer to you and draw close in our faith, strong in our faith, Lord. We just thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
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 We say goodnight to all of you, and we look forward to being on the line one way or the other on next Thursday.
Amen.
So you all have a
thank you all so much.
Good night, everyone.
It was a blessing. Thank you.